If you have your well, we don't really call it a bulletin. If you have your note page, that's what we've made this into now. I'd like you to just grab it, turn to the back. If you want to put on the screen for me, John chapter 1, 1 through 5, then we're going to read verse 14. And I want us just to read it out loud together if you're using it's on the back of the thing just so that you can see it. All right? You ready? Here we go. In the beginning. Okay, so let's use our outside voice and like take it up a notch. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Keep reading. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being with him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that is in being. Everything we see is as a result of the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Last week I was talking about he is working his plan. He is working his plan. And this week, I want to keep with that same thought, just changing it a little bit to this. The Word is working his plan. You're part of it. The Word is working his plan. You're part of it. Subtopic, postured to hear, purposed to obey. Postured to hear, purposed to obey. So last week, we looked at The scenario in Luke chapter 1, we looked at Zacharias and Elizabeth. And one of the things that we saw was how, as Zacharias was going about his assignment, just doing his job, he had a divine encounter. Say a divine encounter. And one of the things I want to drive home for us today is that we're living in a season where, as we are more sensitive, you will begin to recognize more of the divine hand of God in your life and in the things that are happening in the world today. But you got to be postured to hear and purposed to obey as these things begin to unfold. So we saw with Zacharias how that he's in the temple and he's doing his priestly duty, and then he has an encounter with an angel. That angel was Gabriel. Gabriel was the angel that showed up to give instruction, to give assignments. And so Gabriel shows up and he says to him that your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth is going to have a child. He speaks about the child, and then he tells him, he says, and you will name him John. And then we talked about how that Zacharias's response was of such that it made it clear he didn't believe Gabriel. He didn't believe Gabriel. And so what Gabriel does with him, he says, okay, because you didn't believe me, you will not be able to speak a word until the child is born. Not only was he not able to speak, he couldn't hear either. And you find that in the text when John is born, and it says they made signs to him as to what the baby's name was. And Zacharias asked for a writing utensil, paper, so that he could write, and he wrote, his name is John. And so God recognizing, again, that we are created in the image of God. Say, I am created in the image of God. Come on, I am created in the likeness of God. And whether we realize it or not, we have creative ability because it's part of our DNA. And that's why I will continue to state and emphasize how important it is for all of us to watch what we say and watch what we allow to be said to us. And if there's one example where you see that real clear, is right here with Zacharias, because Zacharias could have came out and he could have been talking, but he wouldn't have been talking right. He wouldn't have been talking right. He was shook up by what had happened. Any of us probably would be to have that kind of divine encounter. But he didn't have a yes on the inside of him. And last week, we ended out with praying over one another just to be able to say yes. Just to be able to say yes, even though you really don't know the details, you don't know how it's going to come to pass, but being able to say yes. In the working of the Word, working His plan, and our part in it, our posture has to be one that we're postured to hear and we've purposed to obey. Postured to hear, purposed to obey. That wasn't Zacharias' posture. He had questions, just like, again, we often have questions. But when we talk about that word posture, it speaks of a rationalized mental attitude. Now, let me just kind of work with this for a minute, because God knows our posture. God knows your posture. Even when your physical posture can be one, it's like Dexter and I were talking, and we were talking about, it's like that little defiant child that you say, sit down, and they're sitting down, but all the while in their mind, they say, but I'm standing up on the inside, you know, that kind of thing. Any of you ever have kids like that, you know, you tell them sit down, but they're going to be defiant, you know, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's a posture that has to do with where the mind is. Now, one of the things that, when I'm talking to people and I'm talking to them about something that's sensitive or something that's personal or something that's important, I prefer to talk face-to-face than on the telephone, and certainly don't like to do the email or the text kind of thing, because how many of you know you lose a whole lot of what's being communicated in those types of communication? As a matter of fact, they say a large percentage of what we communicate is in our body language. Say posture. And so, you ever been around somebody and you just kind of watching their posture? I watch people's posture. I just always have, and I just do. Don't y'all get nervous? I'm talking to you. You're trying to figure out what posture is he looking for now. You know, it isn't like that. It's just that I just watch people, their natural posture. And so I found that when I'm talking to someone and they really ain't trying to hear me, they're usually standing like this. Okay. And this posture really says you're closed off. It says that you're protecting yourself. How many of y'all know this posture can mean? Yeah. Naima was leading, when they were rehearsing, she was rehearsing like this. I'm sorry, but I saw, y'all said, now there goes a posture right there. She's like this. Yeah. How many of you know when you talk to somebody now men don't stand like that, really, right? Okay, that was. Not politically correct to say that, but and out of all the times that Pastor Maurice and I've talked to each other, she's never stood like this. She just never has. Now she may stand like this, but no, just but posture has a lot to do with it. And so I tend to watch people because your posture says a lot about your receptivity. Posture to hear, purposed to obey. So when I'm talking to somebody and you know, we may be sitting down, but their face is letting you know they're not really on what you're saying. You ever seen those kind of faces? You know, I was in Dallas one year for a worship conference, and I was speaking there. I was sitting at a table with some other individuals having a meeting. There was a lady sitting at another table eating by herself. We have the meeting. We get up. She says, hi. I said, hi. You know, I'm a friendly guy. She says, can I talk to you a second? Sure. So I sit down at the table with her. She's like this. Now, she was like that the whole time I'm talking to her. Now, I'm trying to be nice, friendly, talk to her about the conference. But her posture, her facial expression, was saying something else altogether different. What I realized later is what she was really trying to see was, will this guy talk to me and interact with me like I see him interacting with these other people? Well, the answer to that was, yeah, I don't have a problem with doing that. But I'll never forget the posture because it said to me, she's not really listening to what I'm saying. And that can be a challenge for us in being a part of the Word working His plan. So Zacharias, he had issues. And because we have this creative DNA on the inside of us that says death and life is in the power of the tongue, that's why we have to be careful how we frame what we say and what we allow to be said to us. Because Zacharias could have came out speaking and said, man, you don't know what. Let me tell you what happened. You ain't going to believe this. I'm in there doing what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, there was this angel in there. And then this angel said this. Can you believe? I know it sounds crazy. Just bear with me. I mean, said Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And then said the baby's name going to be John. Now, where'd that name come from? Now, how many of you know that that doesn't add faith to the experience at all? As a matter of fact, he's speaking the truth about what happened, but he's speaking it out of a place of doubt. Listen to me. You and I can do the same thing. When we have to be postured to hear, but we have to purpose or have purpose to obey. Zacharias did not get disqualified from being a part of God's redemptive plan. He just got silenced for a while so that he wouldn't mess it up. God is gracious and God is merciful. And so, while that scenario is taking place, 6 months later, Gabriel has another assignment. Here it was Elizabeth, now it's Mary. And he shows up to Mary, and we know the story that he shows up to Mary. You can read that in Matthew, you can read it in Luke. He shows up, and he speaks to Mary, and what is Mary's response to all of it? Mary's response is, be it unto me according to your word. Now, she's not really understanding it, but remember I said to you last week from the movie The Matrix, your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation, not in this place of faith that we walk in. And I'm finding myself, now let me tell you, I'm finding myself being challenged right now to live in a higher level of faith. Anybody else feeling that just a little bit? I just want to see if I got a few folk on tracking with me on this thing. Yeah. Just that same place. I'm challenged to arise to get to that next level. Because you can be fine where you're at, and you can stay where you're at, and it's not a sinful thing. But I'm saying, God, I want all my life to count. I want all my life to count. That's why I so appreciate my dear friend, as I mentioned, Dr. Jerry Kirk. In his 80s, he could be retired right now, just floating along, got a really nice cabin in the Colorado mountains. We've been there before, and just loving life. But he's still out trailblazing in his 80s. When we went out there, he's like a human energizer bunny. We're out there. He gets up one morning and says, hey, John, we're going to go four-wheeling today. Never been on a four-wheeler in my life. Put on the looking helmets, you know, they got pictures of it. And we're going up these hills, and Jerry is just leading the way. I'm praying in tongues the whole time. Lord, just get me up there. And then when we get to the top of it, he wants to go up on this little mountain top so we can look out over the mountains and pray. Now, I have to tell you, by the time I got there, I was in a very high spiritual place. Okay? I was already speaking in tongues. And when we was praying, and Jerry is the kind of guy, when Jerry calls me, he called me just the other day, we'll talk, and he says, John, would you lead us in prayer? And then would you pray for me? Then I'll pray for you. That's what Jerry likes to do. So we get up on that mountaintop. He's like, John, would you lead us in prayer? I'm like, I ain't got no prayer. Only prayer I got is to get down off of this. Because I knew what it took to get up there. And I'm thinking, going down on these four-wheelers, and it's going through my mind of people that have fallen off of them and all kind of things. And I'm thinking, if I fall off, Jerry's not strong enough to get me. We ain't got no cell phone. I mean, all these things are going through my mind. But it's his place of faith that keeps him going. So where he started ministry years ago, then retired from that, then started another ministry, then retired from that, now started another ministry. It's this place of never-ending faith. When God comes to Mary, the Word is working his plan. The Word is working his plan. One of the things that I've come to recognize also is, while you and I may have a sense of being a part of God's plan, you don't always know the details of the plan. So when God speaks to Mary, he now also has to speak to Joseph. And so I want to focus for the next few moments. We know the story of Mary, but sometimes we don't really kind of think about the other part of the story that I think plays into what I'm saying here. Postured to hear, purposed to obey. So in Matthew chapter 1, and let me make sure I'm telling you the right verse. Yes, Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. It says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, I like that, because even in the midst, he had rights, but he so respected her that he wasn't willing to put her out there. But Joseph had to deal with his own reality of what this might mean for him. Some years ago, I wrote a song called Be It Unto Me, and I wrote it from the perspective of Mary, from the perspective of Joseph. That if Mary was here and singing it or talking, she would say something like this: Some laughed when they heard the news. Others whispered lies. I must admit I was confused, but most of all surprised. It's far beyond all reason. But God has planned for me. For the greatest gift to all mankind now lives inside of me. Be it unto me according to his word, or be it unto me everything I've heard. Though some may choose to doubt you, while others refuse to believe, according to your word, Lord, be it unto me. That's Mary's perspective. Then there's Joseph's perspective. He's with his peers. They said that this could not be. This is all contrived. You said not to put her away, but still take her as my bride. Even though I do wonder, and don't understand how I've become a chosen part of your redemptive plan. Be it unto me, according to your word, everything you've spoken, everything I've heard. Though some may choose to doubt you, while others refuse to believe, according to your word, Lord, be it unto me. You see, Joseph was postured to hear and purposed to obey. So Joseph decides that he's going to take care of her in a very private way. It goes on and says this, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Say, in a dream. The Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then it says this, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Come on, say with me, posture to hear, purpose to obey. Joseph was postured to hear that even though he could have taken it a certain way, God speaks to him through a dream. And this would become the way of communication for him. And I believe for good reason that I want to bring out in just a moment. God knew that Joseph would need to be the kind of man that could not only hear him, but also willing to respond in obedience in the moment without delay. And for many of us, listen, we all want to have a sense of knowing and adding it up and making it work and making it fit. But I want to tell you something, by the Spirit of God, we are entering into a time and a season where the body of Christ is going to begin to experience more of the supernatural in our lives as God begins to direct us. And we've got to be in a place of sensitivity, postured to hear, and purposed in our hearts to obey, because God's going to have to work around and circumvent some things now in order to bring to his people, I'm talking about the true body of Christ, what we need to hear in order to know what we need to do in the times in which we live. God knew that Joseph would need to have the right disposition, the right attitude of mind, a particular mood to handle all that would come with his marriage to Mary. Because there was the stigma. Now, you know, ain't the Holy Ghost got nobody pregnant. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff. Just because people don't understand. And when God is speaking to us, and we have postured ourselves to hear, you don't want to stay on the page of trying to get others to co-sign on what God has said to you. Now, I've said before, there is safety and wisdom in a multitude of counsel. You need to speak to those who God has put in your world, in your life. Many of them to help that word become a reality. But Joseph, had he responded like Zacharias, would have been messed up. If Joseph had went to his boys and said, man, let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you what Mary told me. Now, how many know right then, Joseph would have been done. But he postured himself to hear. And when you and I are participating in the Word working his plan, you must be postured to hear and purpose to obey. That purpose to obey is the yes before you hear. It's the yes before you hear. As the scenario continues to play out, Jesus is born, and word gets to Herod. And Herod now is hearing that there's another king out there. Now, you can read this in chapter 2, but I'm moving it along so I can pull this in. It goes on and says that Herod secretly called the Magi to determine the exact time the star appeared. See, the Magi, they were the ones who were reading the signs of the time. They were looking for that star that would point the way to the Messiah, to the birth of Christ. And so he gets word and he sends them out as if to bless the baby to bless the child, but he's really trying to find him to destroy him. As a matter of fact, when they see the child, they bring to the child, we know frankincense, gold, myrrh. When they arrive, I think we all recognize when they arrive, they're not looking at a baby in a manger. Because by then, he's about 2 years old. He's answering the door. But it says this. Once they presented those gifts, again it says, and having been warned by God in a dream. Having been warned by God in a dream. I want to encourage some of you to be open to God speaking to you now through your dreams. One of our members, Alicia Redmond, she has a class, a course that she's developed on dream interpretation. Alicia, what's it called? Your Dreams Speak. So if you're interested, see Alicia. She shared some of that material with me. It's great stuff. There's people all over the country that reach out to her and that she's connected with. But this is the time, this is the time of a heightened sense of postured to hear, purpose to obey. Because these are the times that we live in. They're serious times. He speaks to them in a dream and tells them not to go back to Herod. So they left and went to their own, it says, by way of another country. Then it goes on and says this. Now I'm back to Joseph. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Say, in a dream. It's a dream. Says, get up, take the child and his mother and flee Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Now, that's amazing because now God is intervening. Because he's sovereign and he knows everything. God knows what Herod wants to do. Joseph ain't got a clue about it, but wherever they are geographically, he speaks to Joseph and says, now this is what you need to do because there's a guy on the other side of town who's going to come looking for Jesus. It says, so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. There is this backdrop that if we will posture ourselves to hear, there is a backdrop of something that's happening in the realm of the eternal. There is a backdrop of something that's happening in the spirit all around us. What I mean by that is there is word being fulfilled today that was spoken hundreds of years ago. And when I read these passages like this that says God speaks to them and it says this was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet that I will call my son out of Egypt, you can read it that way or just simply, and this act fulfilled this word. And this act fulfilled this word. This act of obedience fulfilled this word. Make no mistake, some of the things you and I think are happenstance, you're just fulfilling a word that was already written about you, already spoken about you. But he who is the word is orchestrating everything in order for his plans to come into fruition. That's a good time to clap your hands and shout amen. See, when you can get up in the morning and really walk in that place, your day is less likely to feel like it's helter-skelter and all over the place. Your day is less likely to feel kind of mundane because you recognize the backdrop of what's in the works. And all you're endeavoring to do is find your place, find your part in this day, in this situation, in this week, in this month, in this year. It goes on and says this, then Herod saw that he had been tricked. He became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and the surrounding vicinities from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. Yet another word being fulfilled. Let me drop down a little further here now. It says, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord, again, appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who have sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, come on, say supernaturally. Come on, say supernaturally. That's what I'm trying to pull us into. Supernaturally. Being warned by God supernaturally in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in the city of Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Posture to hear, purpose to obey. Posture to hear. Joseph, there was something about him that caused him to be the kind of man that was postured to hear, but purpose to obey. Purpose to obey. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the food from the king's table. He purposed in his heart to obey the laws of the word. And my encouragement for us is that the word is working his plan. You're part of it. But we must be postured to hear and purpose to obey. There's three things that I want to close with very quickly. Number one, the fulfilling of the word is rarely fulfilled in times of convenience or as a result of skillfully made plans. Let me see that again. The fulfilling of the word is rarely fulfilled in times of convenience or as a result of a skillfully made plans. There is, if you will, an element of the unknown is an essential ingredient of faith. An element of the unknown is an essential ingredient of faith. Just as risk, cost, sacrifice, trust. See, in all of this place of posture to hear, purpose to obey, Joseph dealt with these realities and he handled them by God's grace. He handled them well. Because over and over and over, God spoke to him and he kept speaking to him through a dream. The fulfilling of the word is rarely fulfilled in times of convenience or as a result of skillfully made plans. There is always an element of the unknown. It's an essential ingredient of faith. Number two, the fulfilling of the word often involves divine audibles. Divine audibles given in the moment to minimize the success of, circumvent, and destroy the enemy's plan to hinder the plan of God, the will of God. The fulfilling of the word, the fulfilling of the word, he who is the word working his word will often give you divine audibles. He will speak to you. He will speak to you. He will speak to us. In the moment, to minimize the success of, circumvent, and destroy the enemy's plan, to hinder the plan of God, the will of God for your life. You know, I love the prophetic ministry, and we do well to steward the prophetic ministry. And we have prophetic ministry in the house. And for any of our first-time guests at the end of our service, if you desire prophetic ministry, we can provide that to you. But one thing about the prophetic ministry, when somebody is speaking the prophetic to you, everybody else is hearing it too. In the seen and unseen realm. Are you listening to me? That's why if we can tap into this place in God that is spirit to spirit, that kind of transaction, and having postured ourselves to hear, I'm trying to move along fast here, I'm almost done. Posture ourselves to hear, and then have purpose to obey. It's in Acts, the 10th chapter, that now God is using again the vehicle of dreams. He's using the vehicle of dreams. Now, he's speaking to Peter. The problem is that Peter wasn't postured to hear, nor had he purpose to obey. So he had to hear, or he had to receive the dream three times. The fulfilling of the word often involves divine audibles. Given in the moment to minimize the success of, circumvent, or destroy the enemy's plan to hinder the plan of God, the will of God. When Jesus was baptized by John, his cousin, and the heavens opened up and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased," everybody heard it. Everybody heard it. Every devil, every demon, everybody heard it. It says he came up out of the water and was led into the wilderness. When he came up out of the wilderness, it says full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God, and he walked into the temple and he read from the scroll and he read from Isaiah, what we know as Isaiah 61. He read his job description, closed the book, set it down, and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Everybody heard it. I'm saying to many of you, and if you can grab a hold of this, I'm telling you, some things are about to shift for you right now. I'm speaking prophetically because God wants to take us to a new level in our relating to him. I know you come out to hear a word, and I feel honored to be able to share the word with you. But I'm telling you, God wants to make some transactions that are you and he, just spirit to spirit, where you're just laying at home in your bed, and all of a sudden, you have a dream, or God speaks something to you. That's what I'm trying to heighten for us this morning, a posture to hear, and then having purpose to obey. Because the fulfilling of the word in the times in which we live will often come out of those divine audibles given in the moment to minimize the success of the devil, the enemy trying to work to circumvent. It will come to you so that you are able to navigate and he not know what happened till it's over. Lastly, number three, the fulfilling of God's word often involves divine intervention. Divine intervention that is not obvious to the natural eye, but very evident and real in the realm of the spirit. With instructions that sometimes, listen, comes to us in dreams, visions, impressions, and leadings. The fulfilling of the word, you see, everything that came to Joseph came in a way that the enemy could not stop it. It came in a way that the enemy could not block it. It came to him when there was already something already going on, Herod already plotting to try to kill all the babies to get to Jesus. But God sends a word, sends an angel through a dream to give him instructions. The fulfilling of the word often involves divine intervention that's not obvious to the natural eye, but very evident and real in the realm of the spirit, with instructions that sometimes come to us through dreams, visions, impressions, and leadings. So there are times, listen, there are times when, you know, it is valid and you say, "I feel led of God. I feel led of God. I have this impression. I just sense something here." And it is the Holy Spirit, but it comes out of a place of maturity in God. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. It's talking about that place of maturity. And I'm talking to mature folk right now who recognize that you're going to hear some things and it may not kind of add up with what's going on around you, but he's speaking it to you in this moment because it has to do with something else that's happening somewhere else, or it has to do with something that's going to happen in your future. Postured to hear. purpose to obey. Joseph just happened to be the kind of guy who wasn't stuck on himself. He wasn't concerned about his reputation. He wasn't concerned about what folks were going to say. He was more concerned about Mary than himself. That's why he says he was going to put her away privately, just kind of. And then God said, no, don't do that. You marry her. You're about to enter into the greatest thing you could ever enter into. You're about to be a part of the history of the salvation of the world. What is it that God is speaking to you? Because you are a part of the salvation of the world. You do know that, right? We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the word of reconciliation. And the good news is, not give your life to Jesus so you won't go to hell. The good news is, God is not holding your trespasses against you. I don't know about you, but I'm saying, God, I need to hear you. I want to hear you. I'm posturing myself to hear you. I'm posturing myself to hear. I've purposed to obey. It took a minute, but Peter obeyed, made his way to Cornelius' house. But still, Cornelius needed to be convinced. He gets there and he's saying, okay, I'm here. What am I here for? And Cornelius begins to talk to him. We honor God. We give alms. And what Peter was not aware of, at least till after the encounter, is that you have been chosen by God to open up the kingdom of God to the Gentiles. Think about that. What is it that God, He who is the Word, working His Word, His plan, has included you in, and you simply need to posture yourself to hear and purpose to obey? Not once do you read anything about Joseph saying, if I got to move one more time with this baby, I'm done. It says he got the word and got up in the middle of the night. Because the reality is, fulfilling of the word is rarely fulfilled in times of convenience or as a result of skillfully made plans. An element of the unknown is an essential ingredient of your faith and mine being walked out and lived out. Repeat this prayer with me. Father, I thank you.
I thank you
that you have saved me.
That you have saved me.
I am redeemed. I'm called. I am a part of your plan.
I confess
that sometimes I don't understand.
Sometimes I don't understand.
And I further confess
sometimes
I don't like how things are going. But I know that you love me.
I know
that you have good intentions for me.
I know
that you know what's best for me. Father, help me. I posture myself to hear you, and I purpose to obey.
Help me
not to miss
one thing
that you're doing or
that you intend to do
in me,
through me,
and for me.
I accept
your will
for my life.
And I accept
the way.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.